everyone, and welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and I'm the host of Inspire Indeed, where we're learning about community issues and the nonprofits and engaged citizens that are working to address them. And hopefully you'll be inspired to think about how you're making a difference with your deeds. Well, you know, when I imagine community change, and who are those that are motivating community change? You know, when I imagine, I'm likely to think about those grassroots neighborhood spark plugs who are reaching out neighbor to neighbor, building relationships, and developing that social capital that we require to really make a difference. And though we are sometimes loath to admit it, just as important as a social capital is cold, hard capital. Yes, the cash to make new businesses, to create jobs, to revitalize old buildings, to repurpose old structures into new uses. You know, definitely takes people power, takes relationships, but it also takes money. And I don't normally think about banks and financial institutions as community change makers, but today we'll hear from a community development financial institution that makes it its business to use and deploy capital in a way to make a positive difference in communities. Jane Henderson is the president and CEO of Virginia Community Capital, and she's here to tell us more about the role that Virginia Community Capital plays in positive community change. Welcome, Jane.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here today.
Well, thanks for joining us. Let's start with some background or a little bit of context. Virginia Community Capital, is it a bank, an actual bank?
Virginia Community Capital is sort of a bank. Virginia Community Capital is a nonprofit bank holding company, technically. Started out as a community development loan fund, received some capital from the Commonwealth of Virginia in 2005, $15 million worth of that cold, hard cash you mm-hmm. were talking about. The Commonwealth of Virginia privatized that money and said, we would like you to go serve underserved markets where traditional capital isn't flowing. And as part of that business model that you set up, we'd like you to think about opening up a regulated bank, because we know banks could take that money and leverage it. And so in 2005, we accepted $15 million of grant money and created Virginia Community Capital as a nonprofit loan fund, but then went about a business plan of trying to open up a bank as part of that loan fund, and were successful in doing that in 2008.
Okay, so you became Virginia Community Capital, or VCC, became a bank in 2008.
Correct.
Now, how is that different from a community development financial institution?
It's not different. It is a bank that is a community development financial institution. Community development financial institutions operate nationally. There's an alliance and about 1,000 of them on the national level. They can be regulated financial institutions, or they can just be private nonprofit loan funds. They range in size from 200,000 to about 2 billion.
Oh, wow.
So there's a varied size out there. Of those, about 120 of them are banks focused on community development. And then of those, there's about 10 of them or so that are actually owned by a nonprofit company like ours is.
When we think about traditional banks, I mean, especially with recent events in the media, we think about banks as maybe those behemoths in the market that are trying to eat up all the profits and share them with the shareholders before they're actually sharing them with the community. So how is your bank different from what we may think of as a stereotypical big bank?
Great question. Because our bank is owned by a nonprofit, the bank will hopefully be profitable, doing mission-focused lending, but still making a profit, because that's how we are sustainable and can do good well into the future. But as we make profit, if we declare a dividend, the common stock is all owned by the nonprofit. So all of that dividend capital gets recycled back into more mission lending at the nonprofit level and the work that we do at the nonprofit. So all of the capital within our entity is focused on doing good and making and having an impact in communities.
Okay, so now you say doing good and making an impact. Well, how does a bank or lending institution do good?
We have four areas that we focus our lending on. One is affordable housing. It's important that everyone have a safe, decent place to live. Our specialty in the affordable housing arena is rental housing, not home ownership as much. There are others in Virginia doing that. So we do a lot in multifamily affordable rental. We also do small business lending because small businesses are really vital to thriving communities. Mm-hmm. It's great if someone has a home, but they can't stay in that home if they don't have a way to make a living. So mm-hmm. we help support small businesses and people looking to realize that dream of entrepreneurship. We also lend for community facilities, community health care centers, child care centers, anything that is vital to you having a thriving livelihood and things that are necessary for a thriving neighborhood. And then our latest initiative is focused around healthy foods, which is also part, your health is part of the dynamic of having a good, thriving life. And healthy foods, there are many neighborhoods, even here in Richmond, that don't have access to good, healthy foods or grocery stores. And so we're doing some work in that arena, too.
Okay, so it sounds like those four areas are pretty varied. Now, if you're just joining us, I do want to mention that you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. You can hear previous shows on our blog, which is inspireindeed.blogspot.com. But today we're talking with Jane Henderson of Virginia Community Capital, which is a local community development financial institution. Jane, what's your website where people can go and get more details about VCC?
You can visit us at vacommunitycapital.org.
vacommunitycapital.org.
Correct.
Okay, and that's where people can get more details about those four areas of interest that you have on the community development side, as well as many other activities that you're doing.
Well, and actually see some of the projects throughout Virginia that we've been able to help materialize in local communities.
Great. Now, when you talked about affordable housing and supporting affordable housing, are you saying that you are providing affordable loans for those developers to build the housing? Is that how it works?
The lending that we do is a little bit different than a traditional bank. Yes, the quick answer is yes. We provide capital to developers, both nonprofit and for-profit, who are building that type of housing. Why that capital is really necessary is that a lot of the affordable housing that we support, there's government money coming into that project in the form of tax credits. You could have low-income housing tax credits. You could have historic tax credits because the building's being rehabbed. Mm-hmm. We have lenders who know those government programs, so we know how to underwrite that kind of project and really look at that money. So a traditional banker doing a traditional real estate project would have a customer who's bringing some of their cash to the table and a loan. Our projects generally have four or five sources of funding that are coming into that one project.
Oh, that sounds incredibly complex.
It can be. It can be very, very complex. And yet what it allows is at the end of the day, because there's government subsidy coming into the complex, you can have rents that are more affordable for people making less than 80% of median income.
Okay, so that's where the affordable housing piece comes in.
That's the affordability. For housing to be affordable, you should be spending less than 30% of your gross income on your housing expense. And in many markets, that's a real challenge for people.
Well, it's definitely a challenge right here in Richmond.
Yes.
So have you been able to work on any of those housing development projects in the Richmond region?
We have. Mm-hmm. We've actually done a couple here in Richmond City. A good example of one would be Beckstoffer Mill over in the Churchill area. It is an old factory, an old mill. Mm-hmm. That was rehabbed into 22 units of affordable rental housing. It was done by a local nonprofit development organization called Better Housing Coalition. And they do wonderful work here in the city. They've done some work on Cary, and they've done some work over in the Churchill area, which is where they're focusing right now.
Mm-hmm. And so by having Virginia Community Capital available, you're able to, like you said, leverage the other funds that are coming into the project to make it all come together. And, you know, it seems to me that this is almost trying to undo some of the historic redlining that took place in those communities. Those communities were not able to get capital because the banks at those at that time, the banks said, these are neighborhoods we won't invest in. So now Virginia Community Capital is saying, no, these communities, we need to invest in them if we want a strong Richmond.
Right. And it's actually CRA, the Community Reinvestment Act, that started the community development industry. And many of us, myself included, started as CRA officers for major financial institutions. But what happened is that bankers said, you know, this could be a market if we approached it differently than perhaps our standard or mass market. And so we really kind of took standard banking practices and said, how do we blend government money or foundation money or both with private capital and make a banking practice out of this? And that was back in 1992. And so for the last 20 years, I've been part of an industry that has really been evolving during that time.
Right. And now you mentioned also small business. I understand that you recently expanded some of your staff to focus on small business, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
In 2008, when the housing crisis started, the economy took a deep dive. And as that recession continued on, it became increasingly clear that the way to create more jobs was going to be in the small business segment. Small businesses now create 2 out of every 3 new jobs in America. And so many of these neighborhoods and communities, their way to recovery was going to be through small business growth, not through attracting the next big factory. Mm-hmm. And being focused on helping these communities be vital, our board said, we need to be part of this solution. We need to bring more capital. How do we help these communities with small business product? And so we're expanding our lending, again, not to compete with a traditional bank. A traditional bank will do small business lending, but generally we'll do it to people who either have done it for a long, long time, their business has been in operation,
or they have
some personal wealth.
Collateral
to bring to the table. We'll do it more in markets where that is not existent. And again, we'll use either government guarantees to make it a safer credit, or because we have the nonprofit, we can raise loan loss reserve to offset some
losses.
Of that risk.
Yeah, because it is, I mean, when we think about small businesses, that's a very risky investment. How are you different in looking at those investment opportunities than a commercial bank would be?
We look at them exactly the same way as a commercial bank. But we use different tools like government guarantees or money that we've received from impact investors who care about helping a neighborhood come back. We can look at the risk in the transaction. We can't always say yes. I mean, I should be real clear about that. We turn down loan requests just like a regular bank does.
Mm-hmm.
But we can say yes, perhaps a little bit more, because we have some of these other tools to blend when we're looking at the credit request.
When you're looking at small business and job creation, I'm just curious if you bring into your decision matrix the element of where that business is or where the jobs will be created.
Yeah. We do that actually with every credit request that comes into our shop. The first thing we do is say, who's benefiting from this money that we're about to lend? And so we put it through what we call the mission test. So quite honestly, if you're a client and you come and say, I want to build a high-end community with a golf course, we're going to say, sorry, that's not part of who we are. And there are a lot of banks that will serve you and will reference you to somebody else. But if you are building something within our focus area, if you're building, creating jobs for low to moderate income people, then we check off a box and said, this is mission focused, and we'll proceed with the loan request.
Okay, so it's another lens that you bring in reviewing those opportunities.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And we're speaking with Jane Henderson, who's the president and CEO of Virginia Community Capital. And Jane, remind us again where people can go learn more about Virginia Community Capital.
Our website is vacommunitycapital.org.
Great.
O-R-G.
ORG. Thanks, Jane. Now, you mentioned earlier, you used the phrase impact investing. Impact investing or impact investors as another tool that you can bring to the table to make these loans happen. What exactly is impact investing?
Impact investing is a relatively new term, but the concept itself is not totally new. For many, many years, people have approached their investment portfolio as a market rate return and their charitable portfolio as a grant or giveaway program. One of the great things that has happened during this economic crisis is people are reevaluating how they handle their money. And one of the things that's emerging from that is people want their money to be making a return, but also doing some good, so that we don't go through another crisis like we've been in, where some people are really benefiting and other people are left behind. So there's a whole industry of impact investing that is materializing out of that. And there are funds starting now that will promise you a rate of return on your investment and also impact in a community. And they'll do reporting around the impact just like they report around the return on investment. And those types of funds invest capital in organizations like us and in other nonprofits that are doing good out in communities.
How can you find one of those impact investing funds?
We could help anyone who's interested key into this. There are organizations like Calvert Foundation, Domini Foundation. If you just Google impact investing, mm-hmm. A bunch of names will pop up, and you'll get some background and you'll get some players in the arena.
Okay, but people could also contact Virginia Community Capital to get a start if they're interested in learning more.
Yes, and you can find our contact information right on our website. Give us a call or drop us a line, and we'll get back to you very quickly.
Like you mentioned, people are looking at how they use their resources differently, and people say it's a new normal now. So trying to find new ways to invest so that it is making a difference. And then you can then use those resources to, like you said, create jobs, create more affordable housing. And another area you mentioned is create access to healthy foods. I would love to hear more about how Virginia Community Capital is working in the area of creating access to healthy foods.
Love to talk about that. We're doing a very, very exciting project over on the east end of Richmond, and doing it with Cynthia Newbill and some community partners over there.
The councilwoman in the 7th District.
Yes. It's called Get Fresh East End. We're working with the councilwoman and the Virginia Health Department and Tricycle Gardens, Bon Secours, who is a key corporate anchor over there, Neighborhood Resource Center, Shalom Farms, and the Community Foundation. All those organizations have come together into an area. The east end of Richmond is the largest food desert, and I'll tell you what food deserts are in a minute. For metropolitan cities the size of Richmond, the largest food desert in the nation is on the east end of Richmond. And basically what we mean by that is that the people on the east end of Richmond do not have access to a grocery store and fresh foods within a certain circumference area of where they live. And so one of the initiatives that we're working on is trying to get fresh food access that is easy and convenient to the people of those neighborhoods. There isn't a big supermarket over there, and the city's actively working on trying to make that happen. But until that happens, we were able to study some other cities around the nation and brought in a model of transforming corner stores. So there are corner convenience stores everywhere throughout this market. There's probably 24, 28 of them throughout the area, but they sell primarily soda, snacks, all the stuff that you may or may not say is healthy for you.
So, and they don't necessarily have the produce in stock.
And they don't have the fresh produce. Yeah. So this initiative is to bring all these groups together. We have brought refrigeration. We've brought locally grown produce, not just we, VCC, but the groups that I had mentioned. There's marketing outreach and education going on in those neighborhoods to try to create the demand side of this. Then we've done work with the business owners to try to create the supply side of this, and we're actually trying to change that business model right in that corner store so that they will consistently carry healthy options for people.
So you mentioned there were other communities that have embarked on this model that you learned from, and so I assume that they've been successful if you've decided to try this out in Richmond.
Yes, the one that we have spent the most time studying is up in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. although this has also been done in the Baltimore market. Some of that work was funded by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Some of it was funded by a local CDFI, very, very similar to Virginia Community Capital. And then working with groups on the ground just trying to change the dynamics of how some of these inner city neighborhoods are having access to affordable, fresh food.
Yeah, and it is interesting that you mentioned the outreach and education piece as well, because you may be able to provide some produce, but if people are not accustomed to purchasing it and cooking it in their own home, or they don't put a value on accessing it, then it's just going to wither on the shelf, right?
Right. So part of it is an education and an outreach. We talk a lot about collard greens in our office these days because that's our first successful produce item that has selling in these corner stores. And what's happening is families are learning grandma's recipe for cooking greens because they haven't had access to that. It hasn't been done in such a long time. And so you see that culture coming back into the family too, in addition to the healthy food that's being put on the dinner table that night.
Great. Now, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Jane Henderson of Virginia Community Capital, and she's been talking about some of the projects that they've been actively supporting through financing and community organizing around Richmond, but also other parts of the state, right? You are a statewide entity, correct?
We are a statewide entity. We've done 150-plus projects, probably covered almost every part of the state at this point. We've done a community health care center in Duffield, Virginia, which is way out in the western part in the coal mine mountain area. We've done some work out in Onancock on the eastern shore. We've done several projects down in Petersburg, and some affordable housing up in northern Virginia. So even when you think of a northern Virginia market, which is really dynamic and the economic influences up there haven't been hit quite as hard, the need for affordable housing up there is tremendous, especially in the rental side.
Sure. When you think about just how expensive the cost of living is up there, definitely.
Right. So we've done work up in that market too.
Mm-hmm. And clearly here in Richmond as well with the affordable housing, as well as now the Get Fresh East End.
Fresh East End. Stay tuned for more.
Yeah, definitely. How do you, can you describe a little bit how you work with local governments? I know you talked about the different funding streams that might come through the federal government that you're able to kind of piece together these packages to make a deal happen. But talk to us a little bit about how you partner like with the city of Richmond. How do you interact with them?
We interact a lot with the city of Richmond, especially the Department of Economic Development. The city of Richmond has some local loan funds that are funded by the city itself. We can take federal money and blend it with some of that city money and blend it with some private capital to create projects. Some of the revitalization that you're seeing that's going along Broad Street has a combination of VCC funding and some city economic development and revitalization funding. So
that
a
area
lot
of Broad Street, like around where the convention center is, that part of Broad Street?
Between the convention center and the state capitol, mm-hmm. that whole area of Broad Street. There's been revitalization down in that. It's called mixed-use revitalization, very similar to what we're sitting in, although I don't think this building has housing as a component. But a lot of revitalization in downtown Main Street areas is a combination of commercial on the first floor and housing on the second floor, or what we call mixed-use revitalization. And the city has a special fund of money for revitalizing some of these buildings in certain neighborhoods.
So your role in that, again, is to help leverage the capital. And I would assume that some of the housing would be affordable if you're going to get involved in it, or as well as the job creation in the storefronts?
It's the job creation in the storefronts. It's the affordable housing that is happening upstairs. And it's the fact that you're taking a building that was sitting there vacant and probably not considered an asset of the community, and now it has a whole new life and a whole repurpose. And so the whole neighborhood benefits from this project happening.
Great. Yeah, that's a good way to – that's a great illustration of how all of the pieces can come together. Right. Take something that's maybe vacant, maybe an invitation for vandalism, and repurpose it and revitalize it into something that people can work in, live in, and benefit from.
Right. And the whole neighborhood takes on an array of hope and optimism, and then other things start to happen as a spillover from the project.
Yeah, it's the ripple effects of when you to improve one corner, it kind of starts to ripple down the block.
Mm-hmm. Well, another interesting project down in that neighborhood that we were a part of is the new restaurant 525, the Barry Burke.
Oh, Barry Burke.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the Barry Burke building was repurposed. That has housing upstairs and a new commercial entity downstairs and some wonderful food.
That's what I've heard. I walked by there the other night. It was a Saturday night. It was packed. It was packed. So
I think they're doing well.
There's a demand for that type of a place downtown, which is exciting to see. More people coming downtown Richmond is definitely an exciting thing to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jane. Our time has already run out. I know it flies. Time flies. So, Jane is the president and CEO of Virginia Community Capital. And Jane, remind us one more time where people can learn more about Virginia Community Capital.
Please visit our website at vacommunitycapital.org.
Great. And I hope that people have learned something and maybe start to see how access to capital can really be a social justice issue to make real change happen in Richmond.
You started off by saying it takes social capital and it takes some good, hard, cold cash capital. Yeah. And hopefully we can bring some of that to the table.
Great. Thank you. Well, before signing off, I'd like to share my thanks for WRIR's dedicated volunteers like Andrew Hawes for engineering the show and to Jesse for working the soundboard down here at Volunteer Power WRIR 97.3 LPFM. If you want to learn how you can get involved and join our team, you can go to WRIR.org and figure out how you can help support, keep this local voice on the airwaves, and continue to hear about the difference people are making in Richmond. If you'd like to hear other shows on Richmond nonprofits that have been featured on Inspire Indeed, you can visit our blog, and that's at inspireindeed.blogspot.com. And heartfelt thanks to Brittany Tracy, another volunteer here, for keeping all of that information up to date. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and you've been listening to Inspire Indeed. I hope you learned something new and are inspired to think about how you're going to go out and make a difference with your deeds.